Well, we thank the Lord this morning for what He means. We kind of celebrate that at this time of the year in a special way as a nation. But I'm thinking this morning about how wonderful it is that the Lord came to bring us forgiveness. The scriptures tell us that blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You know, you think about the blessing of that, and when you see how heavy sin is upon hearts, you know the blessing that we have of being rid of that. And, you know, we had no way of getting rid of it, but the Lord in His mercy and in His love came down here to us, didn't He? And so I want to look over here. Now let's remember that scripture. Blessed is the man, or the woman in fact, unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is not any deceit, guile, it says. You know, you look over in Psalms, the 51st chapter, and the first verse, and you get a little insight into what sin is like upon consciences and upon people's lives, and thinking about what it's like to meet God with unforgiven sin. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Now this is after David committed his great sin, and we find him in trouble. David was in big trouble, and he knew it. And he said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, thoroughly, from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." You know, and then on down, I'll read one more in verse 10. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, that's the weight that comes on a person that has sin in their life. And the Lord begins to deal with them especially. They feel the weight that there is something there that I cannot meet God in this condition. And you know, the Lord came and He says here, David says, "According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Now, David, this was after Bathsheba. This was a time in his life when David knew that he had sinned grievously. And he was asking the Lord, "Lord, please blot out, according to your great mercies, blot out my sins." And you know what the Lord did? He was merciful to do that, wasn't he? And he did restore to David. David had a price to pay for his sin. Sometimes we do too. But you know what? The Lord loves us and He deals with us in His mercy, doesn't He? I was thinking about Micah, the 6th chapter, where it says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" You know, that's the way people feel many times. Misguided by the Lord of their life, which is the world and Satan, they began to do all kinds of things. And you remember Elijah, when he came to the, when he came to the place there where he offered the sacrifices, and he said, "Let the God that answers by fire be God." And so they came to that place and they began to call upon Baal. And so he said, "You go first. There's 450 of you," or whatever. "You go first." And so they began to call upon Baal. And Baal didn't answer. And so they began to cut themselves. And, you know, they began to, the scripture says, until the blood gushed out upon them. That's what the scripture says they did. They cut themselves badly because they were so wanting something. And the world without God and in Satan's control many times worships all kinds of things, wanting that very thing that only God can give, and that is peace in the soul. Peace with God, forgiveness with God, a place where the Lord has ministered in His mercy to us, and we know that He has taken our load of sin. Isn't that an awesome thing this morning? I believe it is. You know, he said, "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression?" You know, if you read history, you find the worshipers of Moloch and some of those back there, even I think Baal and at some instances, they offered their firstborn. They offered their children as a sacrifice. One king offered his son that was going to be heir to the kingdom. He offered his son as a sacrifice because they needed God. But was God in all of that? You know, that was inspired by Satan. That was work that was done wickedly. It cost people. But you know what? The Lord, we know that Satan was the author of that. But you know, the Lord wants to give us peace for our sins. He wants to give us true forgiveness. And that is that He takes that away from us and gives us something that releases that burden from our heart. I have a twofold message here this morning. I'd like the Lord to help us. Micah 6 and 8, he says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." You know, this morning the Lord is not pleased with thousands of rams being offered or great sacrifices, and we can't come to God like that. We can't offer the fruit of our body. We can't offer to God anything that He would accept in that way. But you know what? He says, "He showed you, O man, what the Lord requires." He wants our heart to get in tune with God's heart. He wants us to come before the Lord and take His ways upon us. And He said, "He has showed you what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." And I want to read a scripture in Acts 2 that kind of brings some of this out. Acts 2 and 36. this one was speaking here, and I believe it was Peter. It was Peter. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? For the promise is unto you." Let's see. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You know, this morning, there isn't any way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. The redemption that we have through His blood, and when we repent and we turn away, He said, "What do I require of you? But to do justly and to love." When we turn away from our unjust ways, and when we turn away from our wicked ways, and from the unmercifulness of man, and the wickedness of man, and we turn to the Lord, and we allow God to begin to work with us, and we repent of our ways, and we believe in the name of Jesus, you know, then there's something that God has accepted in that. And He forgives us and truly forgives us our sins. Now, you know, this morning, we can't get anything better than that. What could we bring before God? What is it that we could come before Him with? How much work could we do? How much money could we give? Or sacrifice could we make? There's nothing, is there? But there is one in Christ that sacrificed, that gave for us, that we might have the remission of sins, and that we might be saved this morning. It speaks of redemption in Colossians 1 and 13 and 14. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, we could have it no other way, but we can have it through His blood and through believing in the sacrifice that Christ made for us, repenting of our sins and turning. Folks, we have a great thing there, don't we? And so that word redemption, I want to begin to look now. That word redemption means ransom in full. You know, the Lord paid the ransom in full. There wasn't anything we could come to God with. How could we meet the God that made the heavens and the earth and the billions upon billions of stars and galaxies and all that? How could we meet God with anything? We had nothing. But you know what? Because Christ came and paid redemption for us, because we were in sin and we went away from Him. You know, it was, I believe, God's heart all along. It means redemption. This is the Greek. Redemption, ransom in full. That is figuratively riddance, or specifically Christian salvation, deliverance, or redemption. Webster says of redemption, listen to this, repurchase of captured goods or prisoners. The act of procuring the deliverance of persons or things from the possession and power of captors by the payment of an equivalent, a ransom, release, as the redemption of prisoners taken in war, the redemption of a ship and cargo. And so this morning, number two on Webster says, deliverance from bondage, distress, or from any liability, or from liability to any evil or forfeiture, either by money, labor, or by other means. Now, I wanted to remind us of a little story that we've heard, and I've mentioned it here some years ago. But, you know, Brother Leslie used to tell us about this little boat that this boy made. And it was a really nice little boat. He formed it, he made it, he spent time with it. And it was nice. He would go out to the lake and he would play with it and run it around on the water. And he loved that little boat. He enjoyed that little boat. But one day, he would always bring it back from the lake and place it on his mantle. And one day it got stolen. And he was very sad, because his nice little boat that he enjoyed so much, it was taken from him. And so, one day as he was walking along by the shops, he saw in one of them his little boat. And he was so excited. He found his little boat again. And as the story goes, as I remember it anyway, it was in the window of the shop. He didn't have the money to buy it back, but he kept going back to the shop to make sure it was there. It was still there, so he saved up and he bought it back. And he went and put it on his mantle again. You know, he loved that little boat. You know, that's kind of like the Lord with us. He loved us. He made us. I can only think what it was like in the Garden of Eden when God would come down and visit with Adam and Eve. And when those special those special times. I can only imagine He made us with love. The Lord loved people. That's why He gave His Son, because He loved us. And He wanted to redeem us, purchase us back to Himself. That took something, because God in heaven, what was the price that could be paid? The blood of Jesus. And so we find ourselves coming back to that place and the Lord redeeming us and giving us salvation and changing our life. To me, it's a beautiful story that I love. I believe the Lord handles us with that kind of love. Just like that little child brought that boat back and put it on his mantle. And I can only imagine putting the time and effort and all of that. I don't know if the story's true or not. But you know, I can only imagine the joy in that little fellow's heart. But you know, the Lord takes joy in us as well. And He wants us to be in His kingdom. He wants us to be on His mantle. He wants us to be there for Him to visit with. He wants to take pleasure in us as He did at the beginning. That's what He wants. And I want us to remember something this morning. In Psalms 103, many of us are very familiar with this. 103:10. It says, He hath not dealt with me, with us. Let me get to it. He hath not dealt with us according after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. You know that mercy that God has. He told them in Micah, He said, that's part of what doth the Lord require of you? To have that mercy that God has toward us. And to have that same mercy toward other people. He said, He hath not dealt with us according after our sins. You know, I want us to remember that this morning. The Lord hadn't dealt with us after our sins. Now, we're going to pay some price in the flesh, because people aren't going to feel that way toward us. But you know, the Lord don't deal with us like that. Listen to what the Scripture says. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth. That's quite a bit, isn't it? So great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. And then the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. You know, this morning, the Lord's looking on us like that today. We want to remember our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. And that's an awesome thing. You know, that's just a piece of what I felt like the Lord gave me this morning. Because when we see that, we know what that forgiveness brings. It brings a right relationship again, doesn't it? It brings back to us a relationship where we can be with the Lord and we can be in His presence even. The Lord wants to restore His presence unto us. And He doesn't withhold Himself because we were sinners, did He? Do you know the Lord wants to put that same mercy in you and me toward other people? I want to read now in Matthew the 18th chapter, 21st verse, a little of what the Lord says for His people to be like. It's easy for us to see what we needed. And it was easy for us to want that and desire that and hope for that and pray for that. And it's easy for us to enjoy that. But you know, the Lord wants to put some of Himself in us. Then. And so we read in Matthew 18:21, then came Peter to Him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? What do you think? Is that quite a bit? If he sins against you seven times, that's quite a bit. He probably thought that was a lot. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490 times, folks. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And let's listen to this little parable here, this little story that the Lord gave to us to remind us of what our duty is to others. He says here, and when he had begun to reckon, this king, when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and the children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, we don't relate to that in our country, but they used to do that. In certain places, they probably still do. And so, the king had power. You sell him. Sell his wife. Sell his children. You pay me what you owe me. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, what did he require of him? Nothing. He just asked. He came to him and asked, and he forgave him everything. And forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Now, folks, I don't know what people owe us. I don't know how many apologies they owe us. I don't know what all they owe you and me. But I will tell you, they don't owe us more than we owed the God of heaven. They don't owe us anything close to it. And Jesus likens this to a little tiny bit. This little pence, the other was a great amount of money that this man owed. You know, when we owe God, we owe everything, don't we? Everything. There isn't anything. We don't even have enough to pay. But then somebody owes us some little bit. And we cast them into prison. We take them. We hold them. We hold it on them. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. Came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Folks, this is for all of us this morning. I have found there's three or four things that stick out head and shoulders above the rest that take people down. And this is one of those three or four things this morning. When people talk to you, you work with people, you will find that this is one of the big ones right here. This is one of the ones that takes people out. This is one of the ones that takes saints out sometimes. Because we allow, if we are not careful, something to begin to grind on us. And then we allow more. And then we allow ourself to start saying things. And then we allow, and pretty soon we have a bitterness of soul and we find ourselves in this condition right here where the Lord said, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. And you know, that's going to be our case if we ourselves, from our heart, do not really forgive everyone. The Lord has given you and me charge that we love one another with a fervent heart. The Lord has given us a charge that we love all men. Now, you know, it's easy to not do that. And I will say this, if we have bitterness, we all know what bitterness is, don't we? That's that little bitter feeling every time that name comes in our mind. If we have unforgiveness in our heart, we cannot love. You cannot love right with unforgiveness. It won't happen. We'll try and we'll work at it. But I'll tell you, what we've got to do first is we've got to be forgiven. Folks, what a treasure we have that the God of heaven would just forgive us. You ask me, and I just forgave you. And so we go from there, and the Lord, if we will make heaven our home, we will forgive everyone their trespasses against us. Who are we? Do we feel like that that God can forgive us? And then we are so divine that somebody trespasses us and we cannot forgive them. I will tell you, we have to give that burden to God. We have to give it to the Lord. We can't say it didn't happen necessarily, but we can give it to the Lord, and we can love with a fervent heart, a pure heart, fervently. We can do that this morning. Do you know that sets us free? That puts the burden on God, and it sets us free. And then He puts His mercy within us, same mercy that we were forgiven with. And He tells us, I want you to have that same mercy. I want you to be like me. I want you to forgive and not hold. You know, the Scriptures tell us, as we know, blessed are the merciful, Matthew 5, for they shall obtain mercy. That's to us, isn't it? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, Jesus told some of them, He said, freely ye have received, freely give. You know what God had given those disciples? He had given them power with God. He had given them a blessing to take to the world. And they were taking it. And they were healing the sick. And they were helping people to turn their lives around. And they were blessing people on every hand. And He said, you've received that freely. Now you give it freely. You've received forgiveness freely. Now give it freely. And give everything else to me, to God. He'll take care of that when we do this morning. I want to look over at Matthew 5 and 43. This is one of the easiest things to say and sometimes one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? Now, we would like to think or say, no problem, I just forgive everybody. Folks, for us to have love, feelings of love, thoughts of love. Now, I know sometimes we have to work over feelings at times. We have, and that brings about right feelings when we do. But you know, the Lord wants us to know His will concerning these things. He wants our lives to be clean and clear, that there is nothing but love for everyone, that there is not a single person that we would not go out of our way to bless. Matthew 5 and 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Do you know they were taught that? They were taught to kill their enemies, the Jews were. And so when Jesus said this, He knew what He was saying. You've heard that it's been said to do that. But I say unto you, love your enemies. I want to tell you, the Lord changed everything around right there, didn't He? No more can we kill our enemies. He says, love them. Wow. Well, what are we going to do? What if they can't? He says, love them and give the rest to Him. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, I have never seen the sky sectioned out over the saints' places where they was the only ones that got rain. The Lord just pours it out, doesn't he? He pours it out on everybody. Those that curse his name and use it in vain every day, and yet the Lord does that. And I know eventually there is judgment to the wicked. But you know, the Lord, he pours out daily upon everyone his mercy and his love. And that's what he's wanting you and me to do. We have to turn loose of people. We have to turn loose of offenses. We have to turn loose of those things that would bind us and hold us in chains. And I will tell you, there's few chains worse than a bitter heart. Have we not all of us that are adults, have known people probably that they were chained in chains of bitterness and hatred and anger boiling out constantly, and yet the Lord says, I forgave you freely. Now you go and forgive them. Listen to what he says here. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Everybody does that. They love people that love them. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Do you know that's where the Lord gave us? He gave us his word there. He said, you be full, complete. He said, you be perfect in this. You be grown up in this. You let it permeate your life. And don't let there be a dark corner. But love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. People that hate you usually do bad things to you, don't they? They say things about you, usually behind your back. And he says, I want you to love them. I want you to love them. I want you to be just like your Father. I want you to be complete in that. I want you to be completely like him in that. And so we have to dig, don't we? The Lord wants to bless us this morning. Folks, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. The scripture says, talking to the Jews, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And then he says, you know, he isn't going to hold it on us anymore. And he cast it as far as the east is from the west. And it's all different. It's all different because of that mercy, because of that love, he because of that forgiveness that the Lord had. And so he comes to this place today, and we see the one that did that for us. And he says, now you be perfect in that. You be just like your Father, which is in heaven. Y'all pray for me too.